Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me is Mike Brammer. And today we're going to talk about the very disappointing first-round loss in the NCAA tournament to Winthrop. On a positive side, there is some good news to report as Notre Dame hockey wins their first-ever CCHA championship, and the Notre Dame women advanced to round two. But the big story, of course, is the upset loss. Notre Dame, a sixth seed, going out in the first round to 11-seed Winthrop. Mike, let's just start with basic observations of the game.
Yeah, I mean, a tough one. I don't of the 6-11 seeds, this clearly was the closest matchup, I think. I mean, you got a number 23 team in Winthrop, 21 actually, playing us. So, yeah, granted, a bunch of things just did not go our way. I mean, the ball didn't bounce our way. We didn't shoot well. I mean, I guess I'd argue we didn't really play that well.
Right. Let's start right there. I would say if you had we played well, I expected that if we played well, we would have no trouble beating Winthrop. I fully expected us to play well. And then the performance that we saw was somewhat shocking when you look at the shooting percent. My God, what were we, 18% from three-point land and 14% from the line? I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, 4-22 from three-point land, 4-13 from the free throws, which that in and of itself is where the first argument comes in. How did we only get to the free throw line 13 times? As a team, we've been getting there regularly and often. And then it goes without saying that certainly if anybody watched the game, there were some huge calls that went against us that just at the wrong time. That really put us in a real deep bind. But we can't argue and say that the reason we lost was because of the refs, but we certainly didn't get any help from them, that's for sure.
No, I agree. I thought there were a lot of no calls. There was a sequence in the first half as Notre Dame was up by 7 late in the first half, and Winthrop began their run. And it was like 3 possessions in a row where we had the ball, and our guy gets knocked to the floor, and there's no call.
Yeah, this really was the only time the whole year that I was a little upset at Bray, just because I thought after that sequence you just mentioned, then they had one player that was good, but he played a little out of control, I felt. And sure enough, he comes down the court, does this spin move, and as he does it, he picks up his track. I mean, he just literally walks, takes 3 steps, throws it up, and the ball just, garbage goes in. At that point, if I were Bray, I would have come right onto the floor and just gave the traveling sign, give me the tee, I'm tired of this. I mean, I would have just made a statement right then and there, and I thought he should have. I think had he done that, he could have at least set the tone with the refs that, hey, you are not going to do this the whole game. We're not putting up with this, and I think he missed an opportunity there. When we were getting all the bad calls in the second half, we're down, 15, 12, so you can't get teed up there.
You can't second guess a guy for not getting a technical.
I think that plays, that's all part of the game. You've got to do that when it's necessary, and I think he could have done it there. I mean, I was coming out of my seat. I was so pissed at the refs. I mean, even the announcers said that has to be the most you can get away without a walk-in. I mean, it was so obvious.
Of course it was a traveling, but to say, Bray should have got teed up there, come on. I mean,
well,
I'm not sure there's...
At least argue the call. He didn't even argue it.
What, did you have the 360 camera angles? You saw every camera angle and know exactly
right
what
afterwards.
He was doing in real time.
They showed him right afterwards, and he was kneeling down on the sideline.
Okay, we're arguing about things that had very little to do with the game. The reality is that we couldn't shoot. What is Notre Dame's strength? Three-point shooting, free-throw shooting. And you could argue we didn't get some calls that maybe, you would have expected. But when you shoot that badly and then fall asleep defensively, how many easy buckets did we give them?
Right.
So, I'm not going to put this one on. Should have got a technical over a traveling call. But, we've come out in the second half completely unable to match Winthrop's intensity. They rattle off the first 7 points of the half and really take control of the game. And Notre Dame falls down 20, but I got to tell you, the comeback, to come all the way back from 20 to take the lead, says an awful lot about this basketball team and their character.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, you anytime you're down 20 in an NCAA game, there's not very many teams that rally from that. So, and I thought that we did all of a sudden pick it up a notch. I mean, it was really something.
What do you think was the key to the comeback?
What was it?
What do you think triggered that comeback in the second half?
Well, I think a combination of a couple of things. One is all of a sudden we started not looking for the three every time down the court. I mean, Falls took his guy to the hole a couple of times. And then I sensed a little bit of Winthrop starting to cave a little bit. I mean, Winthrop was coming down, trying to run their offense, but not doing much at all. And they started taking some bad shots. I thought you could see it in their eyes that they were panicking a little bit.
Well, certainly the three-quarters court pressure and some of that Notre Dame played throughout the game, but really in the second half turned it up with some full-court, three-quarter court pressure and changed the tempo of the game a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
Now, my only question about that was it seemed that once we got back into the game, and it was a one- or two-possession game, or we ultimately took control of the game, took the lead anyway, I felt like we should have got out of the press a little earlier and then just played him straight up because, it just takes so much energy, physical and emotional energy, to come back from a deficit. I thought we ran out of gas, and that's why ultimately we couldn't.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, you can't say that 10-point win was a 10-point win because they got some garbage buckets.
Two points or 4 points?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
to extend the game. A lot of that was garbage time. But,
yeah, I agree.
But he goes down early with an ankle injury, only played 17 minutes in the game. I think that was a huge factor as well.
Yeah, I don't remember ever once seeing his spin move. I mean, he's patented that over the last, 15 games, and I don't remember seeing it once. Now, maybe that was because of his ankle. I don't know. Certainly the guy that for Winthrop, I mean, Bradshaw, he is a player. I mean, this is a kid that has played international competition for New Zealand or whoever that was. He's legitimate. I don't we just went up against a guy that was tough and puts 24 points on us. I mean, that's going to hurt.
Yeah, yes, but again, Heron Goody not being full strength, and I thought Kurz just got ticky-tack fouls.
Those last two fouls were ridiculous. I mean, one of them, he swiped at the ball and missed, and they called the foul, and he just kind of laughed and walked off the court. You know, what do I do?
Really a shame. I mean, there's 13 points, 10 rebounds, but the foul trouble really limited what we could do, particularly with Heron Goody being banged up a little bit.
Yeah. That was one of those calls that went against us. It was huge. Kurz pulls down the rebound, puts the basket in, and then gets called for the foul as the ball's going through the hoop.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a ridiculous call. And then the one on Ayers where, we're down three at 67-64. He is set up a mile before the kid gets anywhere near the lane, throws up junk. I mean, just way off the top of the backboard, we get the rebound, all of a sudden the whistle blows, and then you hear the blocking call.
Yeah,
I mean, just horrible. Unbelievable.
It was questionable. It was tough to take. In that environment, you just hate to see the game and the season come down to that. But you make a few more shots.
Yeah, right, exactly. The fact of the matter is, if 4 for 13, if we shoot 8 out of 13, which is still below our average,
right.
Four for 22 on threes. I mean, come on.
How do you think Torrey Jackson played?
No, I thought he did. I will say this. I mean, give Winthrop credit because I think had Winthrop come out and trapped us, I think we end up winning that game going away. Simply because if you're letting Falls spot up with open looks, you're going to pay for that. And I think, it was on Winthrop's strategy of just playing a straight up, backing off of Jackson, giving him the open three and not letting him penetrate. I mean, that was the right move. Granted, Jackson did bury a couple threes late, but the fact of the matter is they just played us straight up, and that's what they should have done, and, it obviously paid off.
Well, I really just don't feel, not to be sour grapes, I don't feel like they were better than us and all that special. That was as bad as we played, and you always have to ask the question, was it because of them that we played poorly or our own, performance? I think we choked. I mean, I just don't look at Winthrop and say, wow, that was a great team. I think we choked.
Yeah, no, we did. We came out and played on our heels in the second half. That was probably the most disappointing run of the half, was, you know, them coming back to tie it up and then taking a 4-point lead. And then coming out in the second half and just getting walked on for the first, you know, 6 minutes. That was disappointing. I'm trying to think back as to when was the last time that we played bad like that, and you might have to go all the way back to the Georgetown game, you know,
time. I agree with you, Mike. I think we really played two bad games this year. Even you look at the St. John's game on the road, South Florida on the road. You know, we had chances to win those games, and we were never really out of it. And although this game, you know, we did take the lead with about 2 minutes to go, we were down 20. To get down 20 is a long stretch of bad basketball. And I would say those were the only two games this year that we played poorly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a couple thoughts here moving forward. Gene Cross, the assistant coach in his first year with Notre Dame, a lot of people are giving him a good deal of credit for the turnaround and the toughness of this team and the defensive effort and so forth. He's rumored to be a leading candidate at Northern Illinois, and that would certainly be a huge loss, I think, if Gene Cross was one and done on the Notre Dame, on Mike Bray's staff.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's obvious that he did have an impact for us this year, no doubt about it, because clearly we played with a lot more intensity, a lot more confidence even, and a lot of people are attributing that to the way Cross really banged on these guys, you know, during practice times. So something has to account for that. That seems viable.
Toughness with this group, and certainly, you know, give Mike Bray a lot of credit for bringing in a guy that provided maybe a missing component to the coaching staff. And I just hope if Cross moves on, you know, you find another guy like that. Maybe it's the return of Anthony Solomon, former Bray assistant, who's been let go at St. Bonaventure's. And here's a wild idea. I don't really think this is going to happen. But any chance you think Tommy Amaker comes on the staff?
Well, I know him and Bray are friends.
I don't but answer that.
I would find that hard to believe. I think Amaker being in a top notch program like that will land somebody in a mid-major somewhere.
I think he'll end up at a low bottom feeder of a major conference, you know, a school that hasn't done much in a big conference. You know, a name like Tommy Amaker, you know, I think would be a good hire as opposed to an unknown, untested guy from maybe a mid-major. But Amaker did a nice job at Seton Hall. Just, you know, he had did not ever get Michigan in the NCAA, but he had a nice run at Seton Hall, brief though it was. So,
yeah.
Okay, in other news, Notre Dame Hockey wins the CCHA championship first time ever, and the Irish, ranked number one in the country for most of the year, go into the NCAA tournament, likely as the number two seed overall, but with a heck of a chance to win the national championship. Now, mostly we talk about football and men's basketball on this program, but how important is it to you as a ND alum and sports fan that, you know, we're competitive on a national level in other sports? Do you care?
Well, obviously not as much as the two big ones, which the strange thing is, I don't know if people realize this, but Notre Dame has done extremely well in all of the other sports. I mean, you can rattle off the list from tennis to soccer to, I mean, both sides too, boys and girls. I mean, Notre Dame does very well in all of the other sports. Not to say that we do well in football and basketball, but does it mean anything? Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, you love seeing anytime you look in the newspaper and seeing headlines that say, you know, Notre Dame hockey wins, you know, CCH championship. I mean, how can you not like to see that? Do I take time out of the day to pay attention to it and read up on it? Probably not.
Okay, well, if NCAA hockey tournament, if the Irish are playing for the championship, how excited are you going to be?
Oh, I'll definitely watch it. If they're in there, I'm definitely watching it. There's no doubt.
It is. It's an interesting thing. I mean, I do pay attention. I watched a little of the women's first-round game, not much, but I'd like to see them do well. You know, same with when baseball does well or softball or anything like that. But I think hockey's in a little different category. Winning the championship in hockey would be that's a pretty big deal.
That's a major step for Notre Dame.
So let's hope they continue with their good play. And, man, what a example of how important the right head coach is to that program. Dave Pullen obviously had a great tenure as head coach, but bringing a guy like Jeff Jackson and that program instantly goes to the top in just 2 years, so that's pretty cool. Let's hope Charlie maybe gets it done in his third or fourth year, but we'll talk about that in upcoming shows. What we'll be doing here in the upcoming weeks, we'll be back with a new show the week of the 26th to talk about just the future of the basketball program and kind of recap this past year with an eye looking ahead to next season's team with the return of Kyle McElhorney. And then we'll have a few programs in April on the progress of the football team throughout spring practice. Obviously, the great battle for who's going to be the starting quarterback there, all eyes on guys like Jimmy Clausen, Zach Frazier, Demetrius Jones, and Evan Sharpley. And so we'll be tracking that a little bit, and certainly an update on the blue-gold game towards the end of April. And then in the off season, we will be doing recruiting updates and previews of 2007 Notre Dame football opponents as we head into July and August. So we will be doing new shows. Check back frequently. And if you have any comments or questions, you can always send us an email, info@domeanddomer.com. Until then, I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today was Mike Brammer. And remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.